Because he was like, I'll never call my dad again. And as soon as we got done that conversation, he goes, boom, shot shipped in his face. He goes, I'm calling my dad.
I'm a spiritual chiropractor.
My friends call me the real life chiropractor.
Good, talk it out.
Welcome to episode 11 of Black Sheep Thinking's podcast. I'm Morgan Pierce.
And I'm Andrew Potvin.
We're two best friends and life coaches helping you know the difference between your thinking
and the truth of who you are.
Wake up. Wake up. Today we're going to discuss conflict. We have nothing to say. You and I don't get in arguments very often.
Not often. I mean, we've had a couple little. We've had a couple tiffs. In the last, like, 6 years.
I blame your mom.
Yeah.
She's listening. It's so funny. She listens to me. No, your mom's great. Blame my mom. She never listens to these podcasts. So today is discussing about how conflict can, avoidance of it and all that stuff. Let's go right into it.
Literally.
Most people avoid conflict
because
they think it's a bad thing. They think they're going to lose a friend. They have stories in their hands.
Yeah, that was me big time for sure. I definitely did not want to enter into conflict because I was afraid it was going to cost me relationships.
Yeah.
I was afraid of the judgment other people would have on me.
And I trusted people too much with my words as weapons to think that it wasn't a big deal to hurt their feelings. This is part of the argument. I mean, I remember when I met Nicole, I never told you this story. I don't think I met Nicole. We were really, like, very early.
Yeah.
And we were upset. We had some weird conflict and I was arguing with her and I was passionately, as I call it, angry, passion, whatever.
I'm not mad. I'm just speaking passion. Speaking out of emotion.
I'm in a glass cage. So I'm speaking my truth or whatever. And she says, you don't have to yell. You just have to tell me how you feel and we can discuss. And I was like, irk. And no, that's not how it works. I yell, you yell louder. Someone slams the door.
Someone throws a 2-liter
pop bottle across the room. That's not how your family is. I thought that was normal. No. Okay. And so, dysfunction for most people in conflict is a major thing. So
yeah.
I've grown past that. I no longer throw 2-liter bottles. I throw 500 milliliter bottles.
Yeah, they're smaller, easier to handle.
I said, no jokes, obviously. But when I understood how to have conflict and how it wasn't something to be afraid of, most people, when they go into conflict, like I did, thought they had to win the fight or, like you said, avoid it. Or you'll lose.
Yeah.
Or try to find some weird compromise or, or like all those back and forths of, I'll prove my point. Like there's a way to win an argument and the way to lose it. And so that was the biggest discovery for me. It was like, there's no such thing as the word conflict. I wish it wasn't conflict.
Yeah.
Cause every story we ever watched on Disney is about, this happened and then there was a conflict and then a beautiful ending. Mm-hmm. That's life, every single thing. If it's managed.
That's what I love about that movie, Orion in the Dark, is when the daughter says, like, Dad, why do parents always need to finish the story with a happy ending? Why can't they just admit that they're, wasn't a happy ending? They're still trying to figure it out. They're still scared of the dark. They're still this. They still battle with this. They still battle with that. That it's not always that they've got it figured out at the end of the story.
Yeah, that was a great movie that I think is overlooked by many.
I agree.
Yeah, Orion and the Dark.
Orion and the Dark.
Orion.
Orion. Orion. Yeah.
Orion. Orion and the Dark on. Where do we watch it?
Netflix.
Netflix.
It's on Netflix.
Netflix.
Disney.
I hope we get some sponsorship.
Yeah, really.
Yeah, you're totally right. And the poem in there and all that. There's so much gold if you look for it as an adult rather than what the kids get out of it, which is still beautiful.
Yeah.
There's a beautiful kid story.
Yeah, absolutely.
But yeah, I love that you
said you've got a great story about conflict. I know you have told it so many times.
Which one?
The turkey bacon. I know you're tired.
No, it does cover the roles. So this is the last one. Maybe I'll sell it here and just play this for people when clients
record it. Yeah.
And so we have three roles. I'll let you cover the roles then. What are the roles of conflict?
The three roles are the victim, the villain, and the hero, or
the prosecutor.
Whatever you want to call it. Anyways, it's all the same kind of idea. All the same kind of idea. Yeah, and you bounce back and forth between three. It's not one person plays this, one person plays that, one person plays this.
Yeah.
The idea is like you can jump back and forth from each role in these conflicts. And Morgan has a great story about that.
So to clarify, there's three roles that you can never, you're never really in the same place. You can never meet eye to eye. So you were, for those who are not on YouTube, he was drawing a triangle with his hand, which is the drama triangle, very popularized by MKP. And so that triangle concept was, my wife says, we should, this is years ago. Cause when people say, you still fight with your wife? I'm like, we've downgraded to a bicker.
Yeah.
Barely. Like we're much better communicating. Like we never fight over the things that most couples fight over, but we fight over what we're about to talk about. It's a pretty big deal.
I know.
So we wake up in the morning and she said, hey, we share a calendar because we're both working people and share responsibilities of young lives. And she said, hey, I noticed you're, have a full day. You're not going to get to eat lunch. You're going to eat breakfast. I said, I'll grab something on the go. She goes, well, if you are getting ready, I can make you breakfast if you want. I was like, oh, that's nice. What do you want to make? And she said, how about bacon and eggs? And I was like, oh, wow. Yeah, that sounds great. So I go shower and shave and all the other stuff you're supposed to do before you go out in the public. And I come downstairs and she's made eggs, but it's not bacon. It's turkey bacon. And I know those listeners are like, man, turkey bacon's great. I'm like, yeah, it is. But it's that spam freezer burn stuff that she's forgot about. Like this. And she cooked it. And I was like, and I, all I did was say, I thought you were an egg and bacon. But that's a prosecutor woman.
Yeah.
Right? That's what we say is the villain, you know? You're like, you created the conflict by questioning. And you're like, you know, the way. And she's like, it is bacon. I was like, then I, you know, get agitated. No, it's not. It's not bacon. I was like, she goes, it's turkey bacon. I was like, it's not the same thing. It's not the same thing. And so I'm still prosecuting and she's trying to rescue herself.
Yep.
And then she says, well, we're out of bacon. And I told you that. Now she goes to the prosecutor. We're out of bacon. Rescues herself. Or victim. And then she said, I told you that. You know, and then I rescue myself. I don't remember everything you say about bacon. She's like, well, maybe you're off your phone, you know? And we're in this back and forth of justifying it through the rescue situation and being a victim, like, it's not my fault that my life is the way it is. I have to make a living, you know, whatever. Yeah. And then the prosecutor of continually interrogating each other of why. And then I was like, okay, because of this knowledge, I was like, whoa, time out. Are we really arguing over bacon? Can you imagine? I came to you. I'm like, my wife and I are leaving each other. And you're like, why?
She makes my bacon.
So the absurdity of the conflict comes in. And that's what brought awareness to it, because the goal is to raise consciousness of any argument because we're playing these roles. And so I said, okay, time out. Let's raise, what's really happening?
Yeah.
It's never about
what's the fight really,
what's really about. And so I said, I'll go first. I said, I feel bad because you've taken the effort to, and it's about identity. It always is. We go back to identity. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be seen as an unappreciative bad husband that his wife is making him breakfast and I don't want to eat it now because it's gross.
Yep.
And she said, she said, I feel bad because I did promise you bacon and eggs. I forgot there was no bacon. And I tried to slip one by you. I should have communicated. And I was like, so what's the understanding? Well, one, it's displaced love. She wants to be a great wife and I want to be a great husband. And we're worried that we're not loving each other and that we're not being seen. Which often the other arguments the other way around, where people don't feel like they're enough.
Yeah.
Like they're not being seen by their partner. So,
yeah.
But sometimes we don't see ourselves in arguments too. And then I was like, cool, I can eat the eggs and the rest of the food and not offend you.
Yeah.
I took one bite of the turkey bacon and I called in sick for work that day. No, I'm just kidding. It's so gross, that stuff, you know. Anyways, but we'll try this. Anyways, so now. And so, and then the fight's over. There's no argument. There's nothing. There's no conflict because most conflicts between people are imagined anyways, based off of our story of who we are.
Yeah. Once you raise consciousness in that situation, things just, the conflict that you're having dissolves because you start to realize that where the displaced love is, you're seeing someone from where they're really at. You understand that it's just somebody's either A, looking for love, or offering love.
Yeah, it's so true. Yeah, conflicts are, that's something I'm much more aware of now, especially in the past few years, is like when there is a perceived conflict, I never want the person to feel like they're not enough. In other words, a lot of people will be like, well, I didn't mean to hurt your feelings because that's not my intent. And that brings up the difference between intent and impact.
Yeah.
Like I want people to know often when I'm in conflict, which we've had with friends, is like, I know your intent wasn't to make that happen.
Yeah.
But you're still somewhat responsible for your impact, but it's not about blame.
No.
And most people go right to that.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, because my intent wasn't to do it. Right. So you don't want to take blame. I respect, but it doesn't have to be blame.
No.
but you still...
But there's still acknowledgement of the impact that was caused in this situation.
Which is weird in Canada, man, because we're the kind of people that if someone bumps into you at Costco...
Oh, sorry.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I was in your way.
Oh, I'm really sorry. Your wife did it the other day. She hit me. I opened the car door and hit her. And she goes, oh, sorry. I'm like, did you just apologize to me for me hitting you with the car door?
Meanwhile, though, all other conflict of identity, it's not like that in Canada. We always pretend we're so nice. It's like, yeah, but that stuff.
Yeah.
You know, the Canadian standoff of holding the door open. But as soon as someone doesn't say thank you when you hold the door open and your identity is offended, you're welcome.
Yeah. Don't worry. I do it all day long. Don't forget to tip the doorman.
Yeah. Expectations. How people should behave. And it goes back to not feeling about there. It's a perfect example. Someone doesn't feel valued. You didn't see me for my value when I did something for you. And so how do you know? We'll solve that by not having expectations of people and maybe see your own value.
Yeah.
People don't love me. Do you love you?
Yeah.
No.
Which is, that's the thing. It always comes down to the same thing. And you'll avoid conflict. You won't run into conflict. When you really, truly love yourself and you're just really enjoying your time on this planet, you don't run into conflict anymore, because when somebody, even if somebody comes up to you wanting conflict, desiring to fight with you, you're just like, okay, I see where you're at. I see what you're trying to do, and I'm not going to engage in that with you. It's okay. Yeah. That must be hard for you that you want to fight with me all the time.
Yeah, like one of our two favorite barbers, Gustavo.
Yeah.
Also, shout out to Luke. Here, the dog. Gustavo said, it takes two crazy people to have an argument, not just one. I was like, yeah, it's so true. It's like, you don't have to engage at the same level.
Yep.
And when you are that aware, not defending your identity, you nail the results.
Like,
you don't rise to their anger. You bring them into your softness.
Exactly.
Whereas, like, I heard Matt Kahn say the other day, when someone's trying to, because what will happen in conflict is somebody will want to prove that the world is as bad as they believe it is through their identity.
Yeah.
And when you say, I will not turn my light away from you, no matter how much you hate me, because I will not be proof. And you become more curious about their wound than furious about the fact that they've stepped on the imaginary part of, I'm a good person, and you want to prove it.
Yeah.
Or whatever your story is.
Yep.
You know, nobody treats me like that.
Yeah.
All that stuff goes away. You're right.
Yeah.
There's way less conflict.
Yeah. It's true.
I don't think I have that much conflict as I used to in my life. I'm trying to think.
Definitely. I've seen it dwindle to almost nothing.
Yeah, you too.
Since I've met you, for sure.
Yours was different. I've seen you go from avoidance of conflict and frustration to not avoiding.
Yep.
And finding an outcome way fast on that.
Yeah.
Like, where you're like, okay, there's this situation, and you own your stuff, or you help others own theirs, and that, and it just resolves a lot faster.
Yeah, likewise, man.
Likewise. That's the gift of what this is for you. If you want to learn how to resolve conflict, call now.
1-888-589-3374.
5-4-6-7-7-7-7.
Yeah. Yeah. If you call now, you'll get a 10% discount.
Call within the next 60 minutes. But imagine, like, what would your life look like?
Yeah.
Now, if you didn't know how to resolve conflict, it would look like anxiety. It would look like it did before.
It would look like it did before, where I would just avoid any kind of conflict. And when I did enter into conflict, it turned into a massive blowout because I was defending, trying to prove that I was a good person all the time.
Yeah. And I would burn a lot of bridges, or as I used to call the people I left behind, the dead bodies, the old friends that, you know. And you're like, oh, I didn't need to do that as much.
Yeah.
Where was this tool when I needed it? So there is an option. And the option isn't, you know, actually, it reminds me, I'm going to grab our phone. I'm going to walk camera and back. Whew. Zoom into my shirt and coming back. I remember this quote that was sent to us by our editor and good friend, Jeff, when he was talking about conflict, and he had a realization. I loved it. He was talking on the phone, and I was like, oh, you should write this down. It's great insight. Like many of our clients, we point towards when they have, or friends, not just clients, but we call them the same thing. Yeah. Everyone's a friend. Here it is. So he said, oh, you should write this down. He goes, why don't you write it down for me? So I put it into my phone.
That's awesome.
And he said this. So he was in the middle of having what he would perceive usually as a conflict that completely shifted it in the relationship. And he said, every other guidance has led me to believe that I've been wronged. So then I had to address it, label the boundary, and then choose to either back out of that on them, or you would just be out.
Yeah.
But, or the last option was he had to suffer in silence.
Yep.
But now he understands that he can come forward out of his own and put his own needs down, the need of being seen, the need of identity, and see them and still address the issue and experience it without fear of loss. Mm. And he said, when I show up this way, everybody wins.
It's true.
No matter what they respond, I get to be me. There's nothing to apologize for being yourself, right? There's nothing to be speaking love. Because when you're speaking love and truth in a conflict,
yep,
you know what to apologize. It's when you blame and you finger point and you all the roles we talked about and you're like, oh, you don't need to do that.
Yep. Because you start to show up and you in service to see what you can be for that other person and how you can help solve their conflict, because it's usually an inner conflict that they've created for themselves that is causing them to enter into conflict with you.
That's a great quote. Be curious, not furious. Furious.
Yeah. Thanks, Kurt.
What else? Yeah, conflicts are interesting.
Yep.
Yeah, and then knowing you're not responsible for how people receive it. We talked about intent versus impact, and we talked about the role, right?
Yep.
And so, what else do we have to talk about in conflict that we deal with? The answer is love. Well, everyone thinks the answer is compromise, but the answer is understanding. We talked about that Stephen Covey quote, seek to understand before being understood. And, and Andrew McKee brought that to my attention to say, like, he didn't, you know, that quote was agenda driven.
Yeah.
I thought that's very valid. You know, it is like, I'll listen to you, so you listen to me. And that's how most people argue.
Sure.
And they think if they hear somebody that they lose the argument.
Yep.
But most times when people are in an argument, I'm like, can you repeat back what that person said? They're like, no. I was too busy building a case.
Yep.
Rather than making someone feel seen enough. It's not that we have, and that's the issue with when we blame and finger point with emotion, we're trying to make someone responsible for our emotions.
Yep.
And when we have to recognize our emotions are ours, we don't blame people for them. And we can come to the table to discuss the situation. All of a sudden, emotion resolves and then clarity occurs.
Yep.
Resolution starts to begin and understanding on how to proceed because it's a win-win.
That makes me think of, the story that Matthew McConaughey talks about in Green Lights.
Yeah.
And he talks about when he was in Africa and he was with these bushmen and they were arguing back and forth because a young girl came up and propositioned them. She was a prostitute and she propositioned them and they said, no, thank you. Like, and she left and then they started to have an argument back and forth about, you know, one guy says, you know, she's doing what she has to do to make money for her family. And, you know, it's understandable that she would be doing it. The other guy's saying, no, it's terrible that she should do this, blah, 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 blah. And they have a conversation back and forth about it, but neither one is budging on what they say, but they're having a conversation back and forth. And Matt McConaughey is kind of watching them go back and forth. And he's like, no. He goes, hey, hang on a second. I think he's right. And the guy that he's defending snaps and turns back at him and goes, no. It's not about right or wrong. It's about, do you understand? We're having a conversation to understand each other. We come from different sides of the pond and we don't have an agreement on this, but we don't have to agree on it. We're just trying to understand each other's points.
That's also a beautiful example. I love that. And it's a beautiful example of how you should put the relationship before the problem.
Yeah.
Because it's the relationship to priority and not being right or blame or any of that stuff. And if you can do that, if you can put the care for someone, if the first thing you speak is, I understand how important this is to you, or I understand where how passionate you are about it. And then you address it. You're not placating them. You're really saying, I see you.
Yep.
Versus like right away going into defense.
Yeah.
You know, I understand, you know, really hearing people. And I think that's the issue is in today's society, we're really good at communicating, but we're horrible at comprehension.
Yes.
So we need to say, I love how you took a second to let me take a second to comprehend that. But it's true. We're all waiting to speak and we all want to be seen, but you know, and that's a gift that I always find that your greatest gift as a coach is you are great at listening to people and hearing them from a place of,
what'd you say?
Sorry. But yeah, you are. You're a great listener and the heart of a teacher, which makes you a great coach. And if you can recognize that we're not here to tell you you're going to ever solve all your conflict perfectly, but we will be able to help you understand the place inside you that can wake up to solve it from a perfect place.
Yep.
And the perfect place is always to pour love on it and to remove identity, to remove your story as much as you can, because the more you remove that, because the need to be seen will make you invisible.
Exactly.
And in an argument, there is no winners when identity collides. There's just two people that double down on the story of being hurt and not being loved.
Yeah. And the best way to pour love on something is to become love. Mm. You know, you can't give something that you, if you don't realize that it's what you are. you know?
Bing. And so resolve your identity. By getting rid of your identity, you get rid of the need to be seen, the need to prove yourself.
Yep.
The need to be right, and the fear of judgment, because those are the things that get in the way of having a great conversation. And
yeah, and it doesn't really matter what the subject is. If you guys have noticed, we're on episode 11, and every subject we have always comes back to the same thing, that it's your, if you can allow your identity to not be a part of your interactions, not become the story for you, if you can put your identity down and become the truth of who you are and live in that more often,
wisdom occurs.
Wisdom occurs. It shows up, and you'll say stuff and you'll go,
did that come from
me? Did that just come out of my mouth? Or somebody will say, what did you just say? And you'll go,
I have no idea. What did I just say then? Did you write it down for me? Now you're teaching us.
Yeah, that's funny. Why we say take notes, is because we forget what we say.
That's true. Thank God for this podcast. How are we doing for time?
We're about 18 minutes.
Oh, we got more time to talk about conflict.
What more do you want to
talk about? Conflict?
Do you want to have an argument? No.
We're so bad at that.
We are. Yeah. I had to do that for a client the other day. I told you about it. It's the first time ever I actually acted angry and did a really good. She bought it. She was like, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I was like, I nailed it. I actually act angry.
Oscar coming your way. Yeah, conflict is a necessary part of life. And if you see it as something that you don't lean into with anger, but you lean into with understanding, then it changes the definition. And you're not going to be afraid of it. Avoiding conflict is the worst thing
ever. And that's the biggest thing. Yes.
That's the story about avoiding conflict. When we had that disagreement and where Mike wasn't communicating.
Oh, yeah.
And I love the line that was said when we didn't talk for 3 or 4 days. And it started off just like, okay, we have a misunderstanding. Let's give it space. But then it became about pride and who's going to budge first.
Yeah.
And then I budged, even though I didn't want to at the time. And I said, space turns to distance. Distance turns to stories, and stories can destroy relationships. And I thought that that's a great quote in understanding why we need to overcome the concept of identity. Because if pride gets in the way and we start thinking about blame and finger pointing and who should do this and no one should say that or this, whatever the story was, you know, or for these people, for whoever's listening, whatever your story is, it's more important that you start to recognize that it's a powerful feeling for forgiveness and understanding to walk into a conflict.
Yeah.
And be able to see someone so clearly that they fall into your life differently. And they really will be a better friend, because people say, well, I don't want to have arguments. I'm like, and I'll tell you the truth. If you don't have conflicts with people and you never work through it, it's not a relationship that's been tested. It's a one of convenience.
Yeah.
And then my best friends, you included, when we have headbutting moments, because we don't have arguments the same way, but we have whatever.
We have conflict. We have conflict and friction that we have to do.
My wife, we bicker. And so when we do that, but we're so, when we understand each other, there's just, that brings the bond together. And that's what people are missing out on. If
it's not about avoiding conflict, it's about knowing how to understand what it is and not stay in conflict and allow it to ruin your relationships and ruin your day and ruin your life and become a part of your identity where you're just running away from conflict or doing a crappy job of being in conflict and destroying relationships.
Because forgive yourself if you've been that person. And if you're dealing with someone on the other side, see yourself in that and practice forgiveness, because forgiveness isn't saying what happened is okay. It's saying that you don't have to hold on to the energy that's getting in the way of creating something.
Yeah.
And every time I've shown up to someone who's trespassed me with forgiveness, the majority of times, if they can live with their own guilt and shame, they've gotten closer. If they can't deal with their side of their own self-judgment, that's unfortunate, but that has nothing to do with me. I get to be clear conscious because I showed up as love and understanding as best I can and full.
Yeah.
And so if you're committed to the relationship and the other side is, then no matter what the conflict, you'll get through it.
Yeah. Yeah. And if you're committed to the relationship and the other side isn't, then you get to have the discernment to say, okay, maybe now is the time for a little more space.
Yeah.
But it lets you leave the door open for that relationship to continue to happen further down the road if they come to that same understanding.
And they sometimes do. How many times have they, so many times people show up in our lives and be like, I was mad at you. And then 2 years later, I came back and now we're friends again. And they're like, well, we were always friends.
Yeah.
But I didn't know that 7 years ago. I didn't know how to do that. I thought, well, if they don't like me, I don't like them then.
That's it.
You know, and I think, makes me sick and wasted energy. It's like so weird. You know, like they say, you know, we're broaching on forgiveness, but that's an important part of overcoming some people. Cause in the moment we talk about conflict,
yeah,
but most people have conflict where something happened 3 or 4 years ago and now they have this grudge. And now they're
bringing it back up.
I had this, the young boy I worked with many years ago. It's like, 5-6 years ago, probably before you even came on board, maybe. Mm-hmm. And he said, I think I've told you the story before. He's like, I'm never going to talk to my dad again. Every time he calls me, he's drunk. And he's, yep. Yeah. And
I actually used this story the other day.
Love the story.
It's a great story.
And he's like, yeah, he's, and I thought, and I just wisdom poured over me in the moment where I was hearing it, because I also, like many men we work with, a bit abandoned by our fathers or not loved the way we hoped. And I thought, and it was a good friend of ours, Dave, that opened up the insight to,
yeah,
the story of that man,
yeah,
not just this man, but every man that's ever been out of his son's life. And I just said, you know, it must be tough to be your dad. He goes, no, he's just a jerk and he's drunk. And I was like, I have a story that he goes to call you and he gets so nervous, he has a drink. And then he gets nervous and he has a drink. And he drinks more and more until he gets a liquid courage. And then he calls you and you berate him and everything he was afraid of came true.
Mm-hmm.
And he just doesn't, then he tries to build courage because he wants you in his life because he keeps calling you, right? He said, yeah, but he's drunk all the time. And so when he understood that story, he was like, because he was like, I'll never call my dad again. And as soon as we got done that conversation, he goes, boom, shot shipped in his face. He goes, I'm calling my dad. and he did. But he called him during the day. He said, please, I don't want you to be nervous. Call me sober. I want to have this conversation. And that was the story. His dad was nervous. And,
yeah.
And all of a sudden he changed the dynamic in the relationship and has a relationship with his dad. Why? Because he was willing to see him from a perspective that wasn't about his own story.
Yeah.
And that's a large part of conflict, overcoming that and forgiveness.
Yeah.
It's weird because like you said earlier, it goes back to the same place. Well, it's the feeling of understanding and forgiveness that allow for conflict to not be a thing because we're not trying to live an identity. So.
It's true.
We're so lucky we get to do what we do.
I was just thinking that.
Really are. We're lucky that you're here with us. We really appreciate that you've been here for 11 episodes. It was interesting about conflict because we had to film this one 3 or 4 times because it's been
awesome. Had a lot of conflict to get to the recording act. Well,
conflict with
hopefully we don't lose conflict. This one. We'll get to here.
Well, don't jinx this. Yeah, we hope you get. But you know what? I'm really glad. I feel like every time we get a chance to discuss it, there's more value, and I'm happy with it. So
yeah.
So I guess this leads us to the end of episode 11.
It does.
We look forward to seeing you for episode 12, and we're so thankful you're here. Please
like and subscribe, and share with your friends. Please, we'd love to see more of you guys, and bring in some more people. And yeah,
thank you so much for coming. We look forward to the next episode. Much love.
All right. Much love.
Bye.
Bye.